Welcome everyone from around the world. This is your Second Shift European Wrestling Podcast. This week, LL is back hosting where he is supposed to be. Sam is here. H is here. Heavy set. Damn the Kidman. Rue and A.H. Walker. Also, Kiwi Touch from the Kiwi Touch Podcast Experience. Please check him out. Battleground, some predictions, rundown of the card, individual thoughts, afterthoughts, comments, and everyone's predictions. We're going to write them down and bring them back to you later. Special focus, biggest names never to appear in the WWE. Who'd they like to see fight? Special bookings. One up, one down, and free chat. Now, your host with the most, LL the Living Legend. Here we go!
Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Second Shift European Podcast. We've got quite a stacked show for you this week, and we've got quite a few guests on the line ready to chat as well. So let's introduce them one at a time, find out how they're doing, and let them tell you their Twitter handle. So if you want to contact them, you certainly can do so. I'm going to start with A.H. Walker. How you doing, buddy?
Sorry about that. I didn't realise I was on mute. I was talking and had no idea I had the mute button on. So
you have to edit the start of the show already.
Hey, people make mistakes. You can keep the same. I don't even give a shit, to be honest. It's cool.
Yeah, it's only you who makes mistakes, Walker.
I don't make mistakes. I'm perfect.
Yeah, right.
I'm perfect.
Okay, let's try that again then. Let's introduce A.H. Walker.
Hi, I'm here. Still here.
Good, I'm glad you're finally talking.
It's cool.
And also kind of welcoming the main man from the AWWIR, the All Wrestling Week in Review, Dan the Cannon.
Bada boom.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Lunch break, eating a sandwich, hanging out with some Europeans. Not the typical Tuesday, Wednesday.
Some Europeans and Heavy Set. Heavy Set, how are you doing?
When you said main man, WIR, I really thought you were talking about me, but hey, that is what it is.
Yeah, I thought you might think like that. Good to have you on this evening. And H, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm looking forward to talking to some wrestling. It's been a long week.
No doubt. Kiwi, how are you doing this week?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Good evening, guys. Looking forward to catching up with all you all.
Cool. Sam, are you with us this evening?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Great, good to have you on. And finally, adding some estrogen to the proceedings this evening. Hopefully, I keep some of the guys a little bit in check. Please welcome Lady Rue.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Good, good. You're charged up, ready to start chatting and keeping these guys under control?
Oh, yes.
That's what I like to hear. Okay, so let's just quickly start this week by looking at some of the emails we've had in from our friends around the world. And we're going to start, and we've had an email from Dan Scott, believe it or not. The Chief of Callers has an email saying, "Hey, Second Shifters, great podcast, have been keeping me well entertained. I would just like to hear your thoughts on the Stephanie McMahon and Bella feud. Will it lead to a match? Also, how does the cock get on the show? Lots of love, Chief of Callers. P.S. Hashtag don't stop Bob leaving." So let's get straight into that, and we'll get you guys to comment on what your thoughts are on the Stephanie McMahon and Bella feud. I'm going to start with Walker. What do you think about that?
Yeah, quite frankly, if I'm going to be honest, the only time I watch it is to just look at Nikki Bella's tits for a bit and then Stephanie's tits for a bit. Like, I when it comes on, I'm not even paying attention to what's going on because I'm just like,
and that pretty much sums up what I thought you would say.
Thank you very much.
Let's go for the converse response to that and go straight to Lady Rue. What are your thoughts on McMahon and the Bellas?
To be honest, I'm not really caring for this feud. It's just like it's something to fill the gap, and it's not piquing my interest at all.
And you're not interested in the tits either?
No! Look at something else that's taking my interest at the moment, but...
Okay, you can maybe fill us in at another time. A more convenient juncture. Okay, I'm actually going to jump to Heavy Set on this one. Do you have an interest in the Stephanie McMahon Bella situation?
Yes and no, but I just have this big fear that it's going to be a long, drawn-out thing, so it doesn't really have my attention until they start actually doing something more, I want to say more relevant, or just something where we're going to actually lead to something that's... This seems to be a long stall until Brian gets back or whatnot, so they keep the names relevant and whatnot.
How far do you think it's going to drag out then? How long do you think it's going to go on?
Oh, God, at least this could go on at least a couple months. unless they're going to do that SummerSlam match between the two. But I'm not 100% sure if that could be in the end game with this. There seems to be more to it. It's just one of those storylines that they're taking a long time to build, and we have to maybe suffer through some of this before we get to some of the meat and potatoes of it all.
Yeah, we all look for the meat and potatoes. Kiwi Tuts, what are your thoughts on this scenario?
Well, to be honest with you, it's a little bit of old hat. I'm starting to find it quite repetitive now, and there is only so much that I'm sure all of us can see that Alicia Fox or Cameron can beat up Nikki Bella for so many times during the week of wrestling. I really don't see it turning into some type of match where Stephanie's going to face Nikki. Just my own personal belief that I don't think that will happen, but we may end up seeing a return of a diva or somebody coming up from NXT to go against Nikki at some point, maybe. I just don't see Stephanie going back in the ring. It's just my personal opinion.
Okay, fair enough. H, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think when they started it, the main plan was that obviously they thought Daniel Bryan would be back in time for SummerSlam. So that was going to lead into a Brie versus Stephanie match at SummerSlam. But now that it doesn't seem like Bryan's going to be coming back anytime soon, and from what I've heard, it might not even be this year.
Yeah, it certainly looks like it's going to be a while. Sam, do you have any interest at all?
Interest, not really. I don't think Stephanie will wrestle either, but it could be that if Daniel Bryan's going to be out for a long time but they want Brie back, then Stephanie could say to Brie, if you beat Nikki, you get your contract back, and that could be a way of ending it.
Okay, thank you for that. And finally, Dan the Cannon, your opinion.
She's still with Cena.
I believe so.
I think there's a nice way to intertwine that. Obviously, the Authority holding John down. I think that obviously spilling over to Nikki. I like when they try to blur the line to fact and fiction using real-life storylines and integrating it into the product. So I like it, and I could see Stephanie wrestling Nikki. She's kind of like the new Bobby the Brain Heenan donning the weasel suit. She draws a pretty big reaction. I think they're doing a good job of building Nikki up, and an eventual Brie return.
Okay, thank you everyone for your comments on that. I'm sure the Cock will really appreciate it. So, Cock, thanks for contributing to the second shift. And as far as your question about how you get on the show, don't call us. We'll call you. I'm going to go on to our second email.
But how big is he?
That's a whole other question. At least 6 feet, I would reckon.
Well, we got Dan on the call. Dan?
Dan, are you going to answer
this? The show's just breaking down already, man.
He's absolutely massive. I mean, it's protruding. You can't miss him. When you see him, you'll never forget him. Trust me.
Well, and just remember, Italians lie.
They'll give you a night to remember, right?
Okay. No. I'm going to move swiftly along for it. I think that's enough cock jokes for just now. I'm going to jump down to our email from Kata. And he starts his email. Hey, yo. There's a surprise. So by now, we've all heard about the signing of Kenta. I've seen a few matches here and there of him back in Ring of Honor when he had matches with guys like Brian Danielson and Samoa Joe. My question is, he's being promoted on WWE's website as Kenta. We signed Kenta in Osaka. So will he actually be using the Kenta name in NXT, or will he be renamed? The only guy that came from the Indies and didn't get renamed is CM Punk. Not sure if you guys know, but CM Punk also took his finishing move, the GTS, from Kenta, who was using it as his finisher in Japan and on the Indies. I'm really excited for him to debut in NXT. I hope it's not like the Sami Callihan, a.k.a. Solomon Crow deal, where he got signed ages ago and is yet to debut on NXT. What are your guys' thoughts on Kenta possibly being able to keep his name? Thanks for another great show last week. Keep it up, guys. Kata out. So I'm going to go straight to Walker, first of all, on this. Kenta, can he keep his name?
Why not, man? Like, I think it would be a good move just to, like, acknowledge where he's come from. Obviously, they don't really do that with all the top indie guys, obviously, apart from Punk. But what I think it's a good idea to just bring the Japanese guys in. It's like, oh, here's the guy who was, just, like, the shit for the last, like, 6 years. And he's on WWE now, so let's watch him in WWE. That's fine with me. I think it's a good idea. Perfect idea.
Okay. Anybody else have any opinion as we go actually to Kiwi on this? Do you know anything about Kenta and what his status is like?
No, not at all, really. Only today I watched the YouTube video of him signing his contract with Hulk Hogan and Jimmy Hart in the ring. Quite a big spectacle in Osaka from what I saw. Hopefully he will, as I'm sure we all agree, be a lot more of a success than Sin Cara the last time the WWE made a big thing out of signing an indie guy. So hopefully he'll go to NXT and learn, you know, the American way pretty darn well. I'm sure he will. He seems like a constant, a good professional. So fingers crossed.
So based on what we know about the WWE and how they treat identities, do you think that he'll keep his identity when he comes in?
Yeah, I would think so. I think they would want to... he's obviously a commodity in the independent circuit. Otherwise, they wouldn't have asked him to join the WWE.
Some would have said that about El Generico, though.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, you know, we could go on for a while here with some of these names.
Yeah, exactly. We could too. But I think he'll do well. I have faith in him, and I just hope that the WWE don't stereotype him as, you know, like they did, like DTC said in the WIR, like Funaki or Yoshitatsu or Taka Michinoku, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. H, do you have any thoughts on this one?
Well, I don't know much about the guy, but from what I've heard is that he doesn't speak much or any English. I'm not sure if anyone can confirm that. Which makes me think that might be a bit of a struggle for him, like a Sin Cara or something like that. But that's all I really know about him.
I'm going to go back to Walker a minute. Walker, just in a nutshell, can you sum up for some of the guys here, Kenta, and what he's like on the mic and in the ring?
In the ring, he's like a very physical. Think of like how Loki or Samoa Joe kind of worked, and then kind of put that with a bit of a few springboard, like high-flying kind of moves. I don't know if he speaks English or not. Like, I've only seen a handful of his matches in America, and he's never really got on the mic afterwards. And so that only makes me believe that his English is very limited. So that's my knowledge about that. So take away from that what you will. We don't know. He might be fluent in English, and he's never just said it, but who knows?
Okay, thanks for that. Dan, what do you know about Kenta? What are your feelings on him coming in?
Well, he worked at Japanese Strong Style. Some really impressive strikes mixed with great technical wrestling and a pretty damn good submission game to go along with it. So from an in-ring perspective, the full Monty here. And the one thing I know is that when Sin Cara came over, I didn't receive a text message from WWE saying that we just signed Mystico. They signed a big international Mexican superstar, whereas on this occasion, I did receive a message from them saying we signed Kenta. I think there's some true equity in that name, and I think they want to give an honest portrayal to who he is and where he came from. I got some high hopes for this guy.
Well, that's good to hear. Heavyset, are you of the same opinion?
I'm really, really so-so on Kenta. Like, he's, as far as what I've seen, he's good, but it's just WWE and their stereotyping. It's like, name me one really good, successful Japanese wrestler, and I'm not counting Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Like, everybody they bring in, they kind of do some sort of stereotype with. Even, like, when I think of Kenta, I think of Hakushi. And Hakushi, great wrestler, but the gimmick they gave him, and he kind of went under the radar in WWE for quite some time and then got rid of him. I don't think they're going to keep his name, because it's what WWE does. They want to make something off your name. Unless there's a random thing that it's in the deal, but there's a part of me that I think they're going to change his name. But the only glimmer of hope that I have with this is the fact this is the first international signing since Triple H took over, and maybe this can be the resurgence of some international talent. Like we mentioned Sin Cara, like people from Mexico and Japan, great wrestlers, a lot of them get stereotyped, and they don't have a successful career because of it. So maybe, like I said, Triple H could be the difference on that, but we'll have to wait and see.
Cool. Thank you very much for those comments. Rue, do you know much about Kenta? Do you have any feelings about him?
I've only seen a handful of his matches in the past, so what I've seen, he's really good. So other than that, everybody else has said pretty much what I was thinking.
Great. Thank you. And Sam, last of all, last but not least, do you know anything about Kenta? Do you have a feeling he's going to keep his name, change his name? Any thoughts?
Don't know him.
The only difference is him and Punk maybe trademark their own names, so that means that they can use them. Because that's the reason Punk kept his, wasn't it? Because he owned all the trademark.
But then WWE like to own the trademarks, that's the thing.
Maybe they could sell enough merch overseas using Kenta, and they could change his name. It's a big market.
Like, certainly a consideration. Okay, thank you very much for your comments, and I'm sure Kata will be very happy with that. So, Kata, I hope you appreciate those comments. Stay tuned to the show in future weeks. I'm sure we'll have many more emails from Kata going forward. I've got one final email for you guys this evening, and it's from Wayne as a Baker. He's not here, but he had to get on the show anyway. Who does he think he is? Me? He says, hi, guys. Missing me?
No.
I don't think so. Yes, it's Wayne as a Baker baking up a fresh email for you guys to chew over while I'm taking a week off to recover from having to put up with LL again. I just wanted to know what you guys would like to see in the form of what fantasy matches you guys would book across the eras. For example, I'd love to see the late 90s Ministry version of The Undertaker going up against the modern day Superman version of John Cena. Take into consideration the wrestlers who never competed with each other because their eras didn't match, or wrestlers that took each other on but not in the gimmick that you wanted them to be in at the time. Look forward to hearing your replies, guys, and I'll be back next week to restore normality and order. Yeah, right. So, I'm going to come to you, Sam, first of all. Cross-era matches, dream matches, if you like. Who would you like to see?
I'd like to see Sting in WWE as a fantasy match, but before WWE bought WCW, so Sting pre-2002.
Right.
Who he'd be against is, I mean, the obvious one's Undertaker again, because obviously a lot of people are saying they don't want to see that now, but I think it's a very different proposition. If it had been 12 years ago, I think there would have been a lot of clamour for that match.
Okay, that's an interesting one. It's one that could still happen. Some would say next WrestleMania, but not in the fitness they would have been in back in the pre-2002 days. A.H. Walker, dream matches across the eras from you.
Okay, I've got two. I would have said AJ Styles, like 2005, when he was just the most over guy ever, doing flips and shit, and then put him in the ring against like Chris Jericho or ECW Rey Mysterio, because that would have been just high flying, technical, just everywhere, and it would have been fantastic. Or Straight Edge Society CM Punk against Eddie Guerrero.
Both very good matches, actually. Certainly, the first one, I think, was doing an absolute spot fest in many ways, but really, really interesting to watch. Could I keep up with the two of them at their best on their absolute A game? And the second one has just been a story told in the ring in a fantastic way. Okay, heavy set, dream match across the ears from you.
I just want to say, fuck you, Wayne, for taking the question that is in my email for the Spanish announce table. But My two that I've always had, of basically, it's like you go dead or alive. Like these, the dream match would be Bret Hart in his prime versus Kurt Angle in his prime. I think that there could have been a lot done there if they were able to cross paths. Mm-hmm. And another one, Bret and Owen as a tag team versus the Hardy Boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're two very good matches. Certainly ones that would bring some eyes to the screen now with a bit. Kiwi, do you have any dream matches you want to throw in here?
Well, I agree with Sam, actually. Sting versus The Undertaker, maybe pre-2002. But I must admit, I would love to see it at next year's WrestleMania. I know not a lot of people would agree with that, but personally, I would like to have seen that. Also, I would have liked to have seen Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Goldberg, you know, in 1999, both when the two of them were really hot commodities in both the WWE and WCW. So, yeah, that would have been for me, for sure. I thought both of them would have had a huge slugfest.
Who would you prefer to have taken the win in that scenario?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay, thank you for that. Rue, I'm going to come to you in this one.
Probably like to see, like, Bray Wyatt versus, like, Shawn Michaels in his prime.
All right, okay, that's an interesting one. Yeah, I can see that. I'm going to come to H as well on this.
Well, I've got one that's quite an obvious one, and a lot of people have wanted to see it for a long time, and that's CM Punk and Stone Cold, both at the top of their prime, like Stone Cold Attitude Era and CM Punk, you know, just post Pipe Bomb in 2011.
Yeah, I can imagine some of the build-up that would be pretty phenomenal as well. So, said it wouldn't be good to watch. And I'm expecting a doozy out of Dan the Cannon on this. So, Dan, your match to bring guys across to Eras, what would you pick?
I have a dream pay-per-view that I've always wanted to book. It's called Faction Warfare. And, of course, this is a dreamland. But we take some of the best factions from all time. Let's say, for argument's sake, the Freebirds, Evolution, the Shield, and the Four Horsemen. And then we take the Enforcers in a singles match, like Terry Bam Bam, Gordy Batista, Arn Anderson, and Roman. There's one match. Then your frontmen, Michael PSAs, Triple H, Ric Flair, Dean Ambrose, and so on and so forth. I think that would be an absolute dream for me.
That sounds like a heck of a grouping there. That's certainly one that I'd like to watch. I don't know about anybody else on that one. Anybody else got any extra ones you want to throw in before we round off Wayne's email?
Ryback versus Goldberg. Yeah.
Go ahead. Two more that I'm surprised we didn't bring up was Stone Cold versus Hogan and Hogan versus Flair at WrestleMania 8. Like that moment of having that match, not what we see in WCW, but that moment.
Some very, very good thoughts there, actually. I like those. Thank you, Wayne, for putting us in the tricky position of having to make that up on the spot. It would have been good to have had a bit of notice to think about some pretty good ones myself, but I've not had time to even think twice. But thank you, Wayne. And Wayne will be back next week on the Second Shift, as he says, to allegedly restore normality and order. And we'll see what happens when he does. Okay, thank you everyone for your emails. You can email us at thesecondshiftpod@gmail.com or you can catch us on Twitter at secondshiftpod with any thoughts and comments you have on the show. We're going to have a move on to our main topics this evening, and we're going to have a chat about the upcoming Battleground pay-per-view. We'll run through the matches, and then at the end we might give some predictions on who we think are going to win those matches. So first of all, let's look at Cameron versus Naomi, which is going to be on the kickoff show. Dan Cannon, are you interested?
Yeah, I think I'm one of the few people who actually care. I just like the personality both have been showing. I actually like the prospect of Cameron long term. I think she's got a lot of personality weight in the show. And Naomi can go in that ring, so it's the perfect little mix. Is it going to be a 5-star classic? No, but it'll hold my attention long enough not to fast forward.
Okay, thank you very much. Sam, do you think this could be a great way to warm up the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I think it's half decent. Better than seeing a tag team. The Usos always seem to get stuck on the pre-show. It's interesting to see where they go after this. I think in singles. I think I'll save the prediction, actually. I think it'll be a decent match, though.
Yeah, we'll come to the predictions. There's a kind of chance to comment on this one. A.H. Walker, are you looking forward to Cameron and Naomi?
Yeah, I actually am. Like, I don't really watch the pre-show matches since WrestleMania. I haven't really watched them, but like I've kind of enjoyed watching these guys, like, just because I've just found Cameron to be so intolerable that I want to watch her get the shit kicked out of her. So like I really want to watch this just in case she might hurt herself or some shit like that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this, and I think Naomi's gonna take this one down.
Take a note of you saying Naomi at this stage. Okay. And Heavy Set, what do you think on this one?
I think they're going to go with Cameron winning. I'm not really high on her, and I think that's the reason why you give her the win. I think Naomi is guaranteed, like, sometime down the road to be the Divas champion, but you give Cameron this win coming out of the split to make her look better than she actually is.
Do you think it's going to be a worthwhile watch?
Props to Sarah Del Rey for actually turning Cameron into somewhat of a decent wrestler.
Do you think it's going to be a good enough match?
I'm really hesitant about it because I'm not really, like I said, sold on Cameron's ability. She's semi-decent right now. But I think since these two have been around on the road together, we could possibly see a really good match, because if they're actually friends and everything, there could be really great chemistry.
Yeah, I'm hoping they're going to surprise us on this one. Rue, are you looking forward to this match?
Yeah, it's been interesting to see what's been going to be going on. So not overly informed that it's going to be like a really good match, but hopefully they should put out something decent.
All right, okay. H, what do you think?
Yeah, it's not that I'm interested in the match. It's more that I'm interested in the storyline. You know, I don't know what they're going to do in the ring, but the storyline's been good so far. And also to say that Cameron, if I'm right, is the only one that's left from Tough Enough. That series, and to say she was the one that said that her favourite match was Melina versus Alicia Fox, you know, she's come a long way since then, and I hope she'll make a good heel.
Right, okay, it's certainly one to watch actually, because she's progressed quite well since those early days. Even her kind of in-ring actions have improved anyway. Kiwi, what are your thoughts on this match?
Well, as I think we all agree, it's not necessarily going to be a great wrestling match, but the storyline's got me intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron is such a heater. She's just all you can think of is to hate her and hate that voice that she does and her face. You just want to slap it. So honestly, I feel like Cameron's going to go over and continue this heat run, because obviously she's gaining a huge reaction from, well, not a huge reaction, but she's gaining a reaction from fans, and it will build Naomi up to a pretty decent baby face, I feel.
So you're going for Cameron, heavy said Cameron, AH so far said Naomi. Dan, who do you think is going to take it?
Cameron in a cat fight. This is a good old-fashioned cat fight. I love how Naomi let her hands fly the last time they were in the ring. I think they're going to beat the crap out of each other. That's going to be fun.
H, who's going to win?
I think it's going to be Cameron. They're really pushing to try and get her over.
Sam?
Yeah, Cameron, but only because Naomi doesn't need the win.
Rue?
Cameron.
Well, I'm going to go with Walker. No, I'm going to agree with you, actually, Walker, and say Naomi to take this one.
Yeah, that's right. We're the smart people.
Just to give Cameron a chance to get some revenge on the other side. So that's my reasoning for that. I'm going to jump to Jack Swagger versus Rusev. And Kiwi, your thoughts on this one?
I feel like Rusev's going to continue his dominant streak against his opponents, and it will continue to SummerSlam and just building up this rivalry. Because again, it's getting a good reaction from the fans. It's quite an intriguing storyline. I love their segment on Raw. I thought Lana was incredible in her responses to the crowd and everybody saying, Shut up! In her really incredible Russian accent, I thought was hilarious. And Zev is obviously a constant professional on the mic. And I think Swagger and Rusev have a good amount of chemistry, from what we've seen in their news conferences, etc. So I think this is going to go well, but I do feel that Rusev will crush Swagger.
Oh, so you're going for the win for Rusev. Rue, what are your thoughts on this match?
I'm actually quite interested to see where it goes, because this has such a good build-up, and this match has been waiting to happen for quite some time now, so yeah, probably Rusev to win.
So you're agreeing on that one. A heavy set. Your thoughts on this match? Who's going to take it for you?
I want every real American listening to this to put get on their feet and put their hand over their heart and in a loud, clear voice say, "We the people." Jack Swagger all day, every day. He will crush Rusev.
A very clear opinion. Sam, Swagger, Rusev, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm interested in this one. I think it's the first feud for Rusev that's really got him on an even keel, because he's just been in squash matches so far. I can see Swagger winning it just to keep the storyline going, rather than just being another Rusev crush win.
That's two each at the moment. I'm going to come to AH Walker. Rusev or Swagger?
Rusev, man, he's going to run straight through Jack Swagger. I know it hurts me to say this, because I love Jack Swagger, man. I'm not even going to deny this right now. I always say "we the people" when they say it, and I'm British as shit, and I don't even care, right? But and it upsets me to watch Jack Swagger lose, because that's what he's pretty much been doing for like 3 years. But like, they have a future main eventer in Rusev, but anyone who they're pushing who's currently undefeated, I think they could ride out for a long ass time, and so I think Rusev should take this one down.
Right, okay, thank you. H, it feels like though only a matter of weeks ago we were all kind of slagging off Rusev, not looking forward to where he was going with his matches. What's changed for you?
What's changed for me about Rusev?
Yeah.
I think it's this storyline. We're feeling like he's, you know, there's a possibility that he might not get squashed, that he might not squash Jack Swagger. I think now we're interested, and that's why I think Jack Swagger's going to win, because it needs to happen for them to further both Swagger's face character and Rusev's heel character, because he can come back next week even more pissed off that he's lost.
Very interesting. Three apiece at the moment, actually. So Danny Cannon, do you think it's going to go Rusev's way, all the way to Russia, or Swagger taking the win?
Win for Russia. I got Russia all day. Rusev, it's too early to derail his momentum. Swagger already got his out of this feud, which was a face turn. Now Rusev gets his in a victory. Maybe a Patriot lock countered into the Acolyte, his little camel clutch.
That might be quite nice. I don't see any way that Rusev can lose this. He needs the momentum going forward, I think. So I also agree that Rusev's going to take this one. So it's five of us voting Rusev, three for Swagger. So, interesting. I'm going to jump to the two former Shield members, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. Now, I've not heard any updates on the Seth knee situation. Can anyone fill me in on that?
He's fine.
Good to go. Okay, so for Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, heavy set. Is this going to be one of the matches of the night?
If anybody thinks Cameron and Naomi is going to be a downright brawl or cat fight, this is going to be 10 times that. But the one thing that I see happening is I see Seth Rollins winning, but it's going to be by DQ, because I see Ambrose finding some way to get disqualified, and it's probably not going to be on, like, quote, purpose. It's just him going to be going off, and, like, he needs to take out some aggression.
Very good thoughts. Rue, what do you think on this? Seth, or is it Dean for you?
I'm agreeing with everything. It's going to be a disqualification.
You think it's going to be a DQ?
Ambrose.
A DQ to give Ambrose the win, or a DQ against Ambrose, sorry?
To get Seth the win.
Seth the win by DQ. And Dan, what do you think?
I actually don't think this match ever happens. I think Rollins, working his injury, limps to the ring, says, "I really wish I could fight you," but not going to happen. Dean turns his back, gets crushed with the briefcase, and this parlays into SummerSlam, where we get the eventual match.
Word is from SmackDown, he's fine. Like, they don't
really
sell it. Yeah.
Well, in that case, Dean wins via DQ from Rollins.
Dean by DQ. Okay, that's interesting. So it's two DQ results, but going opposite directions. A.H. Walker, do you think it's going to be DQ? Do you think it's going to be a barn burner of a match? Or do you think it's going to be the match of the decade?
This match is going to be good, like, obviously. But it's going to be... It's going to have one of those screwy finishes where they both kind of get disqualified, because they're just going to beat the shit out of each other. Because, like, obviously Ambrose is the more crazy one. I say that with quotes, but, like, we can tell that Rollins is no slouch. And the way that this feud's booked, they're both going to beat the crap out of each other. It's going to be like a double count out or a double disqualification. Like, and then it moves over to the next pay-per-view where it's, like, street fight or some bullshit.
Okay, so you think it's a double DQ, so no contest, really?
Yeah.
H.
See, I'm just going to try and be a bit different from everyone else, and I'm going to say Rollins is going to go over using some sort of cheating tactic, whether he uses the briefcase or foot on the ropes, something like that, and then that'll lead to Ambrose going over Rollins and doing the favour back for him at SummerSlam.
Kiwi Tats.
I'm going to go the opposite to what H just said. I'd say that Ambrose pulls a victory out of nowhere with a roll-up, say, and then they'll have another match at SummerSlam, and then probably Rollins will get the back victory then, I think. But yeah, I'd say Dean Ambrose is going to get the win on Sunday.
Sam, are you looking forward to this one?
Yeah, I think if this match happens and it doesn't just descend into chaos, I think this will be the best match of the night.
And you've just touched on my question I was about to ask it. So do you think anyone's going to interfere in this, or do you think they're going to be left to get on with it?
It's hard, because Kane and Orton haven't really been very receptive of Rollins. I don't know if they would help, like you would think, like Kane helped Randy with the briefcase. What did he do? Held the ladder.
Yeah.
Kane helped Rollins, didn't he, with the ladder?
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to win. It's they're both where they need to be, so you don't feel like one needs it. So maybe it will end in a DQ or a count out.
Who's taking the win?
I don't know.
Go on, put your money where your mouth is.
All right, Ambrose.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ambrose as well, just purely out of my anticipation of what the Authority would do with Seth Rollins going forward after that to get some comeuppance on this situation. So that's my prediction as well, as Dean Ambrose. Going to jump from that then to the Usos versus the Wyatts. Now, really, come first on this one. Are you looking forward to this tag team match?
Yeah, I kind of am, because they've been really building up to this feud over the past several weeks. So cause I really do like you said, but I would love seeing what the Wyatts have been doing. But I do see the Wyatts taking the belts.
It's 2 out of 3 falls. Are we going to get all 3 falls, or do you think they'll tie it up in the first 2?
Yeah, I think we all get all 3 falls.
I am recording all these for future reference, guys. We might bring this up next week. Sam, I'll come back to you straight away. The Usos, the Wyatts, what are your thoughts on the match itself?
Good match, I think. Their match was one of the best ones at Money in the Bank. I'm going to say the Wyatts do it 2 straight falls, just because best of 3 falls always ends in 2-1 every time. I don't think I've ever seen just a straight 2-0, and I think that would just show the Wyatts' dominance.
Heavy, do you think it's going to go all 3 falls?
Yeah, I think it's going to go all 3 falls. It's kind of that rule. I see the Wyatts winning, though. I kind of see the Usos getting the first fall, but then the Wyatts just taking over.
Okay, so the Wyatts take it. H. Walker.
Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with the trend going here. 3 falls, the Wyatts are going to take it, but I feel like they're going to have the Usos chase the entire match, so the Wyatts will get the first fall. They'll fight to get the second one, and then they'll just get murked over, and then they'll lose the belts. I could see this being the match of the night as well, because it pretty much was last pay-per-view as well, so there you go.
Yeah, I'm pretty much thinking the same thing. I think it's going to be an absolutely great match, especially with the 2 out of 3 falls implication on the go. Dan McKinnon, what do you think?
Yes, yeah, pretty much co-sign with what everybody said. And with that, I bid you guys farewell. Lunch break is over. Thanks for having me. Good times.
Great to have you on. Thank you very much.
Bye, Dan.
Bye.
And what we'll do is we'll get Dan to give us some further predictions on his results a bit later on for next week's show.
One American gone, one to go.
TikTok.
It's a bit easier to bully just one. Going to jump to Kiwi. What are your thoughts on the match?
Well, I really do think, and in agreement with the rest of you guys, it's going to be one hell of a match. I think it's going to be really cool. So certainly I think the Wyatts are going to win the tag titles. It's time for them to rise to the occasion now and wear the humongous large 2 pence pieces.
Two falls or all 3?
2 falls. I think usually in most of these matches, it will really go down to 2 falls each, and then they'll end up getting the decisive pin at the end after an exhilarating match.
Okay, and H, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I've got to go with the Wyatts too. I think they were trying to throw us off the scent with creative on Monday when they had the Wyatts absolutely destroy the Usos. But then again, we also said last time we were also sure that the Wyatts were going to win, so maybe they'll throw another curveball. But I feel like if the Wyatts take the titles now, it opens up the opportunity for one final rematch at SummerSlam.
2 straight falls or are going to go all 3?
He's got to go all 3. I don't think I've ever seen a 2 or 3 falls match where someone's won the first 2 falls.
Yeah, I think I have to agree, and I certainly also agree that it should be the Wyatts. So it's an absolute clean sweep that we all think the Wyatts are going to take those titles home. So I'll have some egg on our faces next week if that's not the case. I'm going to jump to the Divas Championship match, AJ Lee versus Paige. Heavy set, chip in first.
Oh God, I really don't care about this match because I really don't care about AJ Lee and Paige. I'm the minority, but I see AJ winning.
AJ for the win for you. And AH Walker, do you agree? Do you think it's going to be a pretty ropey match, or are you actually interested in this one?
I'm looking forward to it. Just down to the fact that they're actually both really good in the ring from what we've seen before already, and they haven't really had the chance to go proper all out because the 2 matches they've had are a little bit quick maybe, and they kind of left a poor taste in your mouth. So who knows? I'm expecting it to be at least a halfway decent match.
Are we going to see a title change?
No, absolutely not. That's not going to happen.
Okay, thank you, Rue. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm quite looking forward to my smack because I'm very high on Paige, and I've been very high on her for quite a long time now. But I do see AJ winning.
You see AJ winning as well. 3 out of 3 yeah. So far. Sam, what do you think? Do you think there's going to be a title change, or do you think AJ's holding on to this for a while?
No title change. I think AJ retains. Just to see where the story goes.
Kiwi, do you think it's going to be a title change? Do you think it's going to stay the same? Are you interested in the match? Do you think it's going to be a great one to watch?
Yeah, it'll be a great one to watch. You got great wrestler in Paige. and AJ's a true professional as well. I don't think the title is going to change hands. I still think that AJ is going to retain the title, and Paige will keep on brewing up this supposed, and I think is almost inevitable, heel turn, and add some more layers to her character. I think it's going to be great.
Do you think that the heel turn is inevitable after their conversation on Raw this week?
I do, actually. I do. I think Paige did a really good job on the booth, I must admit. But she had a great connectivity with all three of them behind the booth. And I'm quite glad this time that Paige managed to get to the other side of the announce table next to JBL, where she's safe.
I also thought that AJ Lee did a great job on the announce table, literally.
Yes. Yes. Most definitely.
Hates, last but not least on this one, what are your thoughts on this match?
My thoughts, I'm going to switch it up a little bit again, and I'm going to say that, yeah, I think AJ is going to win, but I think this is the one that's going to end by disqualification, because I think that Paige is going to absolutely lose her cool, and that's when the definite heel turn is going to kick in, leading to a rematch at SummerSlam.
Intriguing. I do see this rivalry continuing for some time as well. I've also got AJ for the win, so a clean sweep as well for AJ there on that match. I'm going to jump now to Bray Wyatt versus Chris Jericho. We know Jericho is obviously gunning for this win, but is he just there to put Bray Wyatt over is the big question. Kiwi, who's going to take this match? Is it going to be a great match? Is it going to be one that you're invested in?
Ah, yes. I'm really looking forward to it. They didn't have a bad match, actually, when they faced each other on NXT last year. I feel like Chris Jericho is going to get the win on this one. I'm just going to be different. Build up the intensity of the feud. And I think then eventually Bray will get the return victory at SummerSlam. So, because I feel like it's going to be one of these matches that's just going to continue on, and the story's going to get interesting, and it's going to continue on with some great momentum. So yeah, I'm picking Chris Jericho to win.
Walker, are you looking forward to this match?
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. Like I haven't really been enjoying the build up personally. I think it's been a little lacking to me. I've just been like, ugh, come on. But like, the match is going to be good, man. I always enjoy watching a Jericho match. Like, he hasn't had a bad match in a very long time. So, and when Bray Wyatt's in a good match, it's a fucking good match. So, I'm looking forward to it. Go for it.
And who's going to win it?
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt for you. Jump to Sam on this one. Bray Wyatt, Chris Jericho, looking forward to it?
Yeah, it's going to be a decent match. I agree the build-up's been a bit below what it could be, but I think Jericho wins this to allow the story to carry on, and Bray gets the win at what is perceived to be the bigger pay-per-view, SummerSlam.
Okay, H.
I think Chris Jericho is going to get the win, because I think, same as what Kiwi was saying earlier, I think that's what needs to happen to further this storyline on. And Jericho, he needs to get a decent win, because for him to be able to put someone over, he needs to have beaten someone more recently than he has done, if that makes sense.
Right, okay. No, I get you on that. Heavyset, who's going to take this match?
Wait a minute. Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho had a match on NXT. Chris Jericho said this is the first time ever. He lied to me. But I'm going to pick Chris Jericho.
He sure did, Heavy.
Chris Jericho. Okay, so there's a few for Jericho so far. Lady Rue, you looking forward to the match?
Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to the match. See, these two are going to probably have one of the good, better matches of the night. But I do see Chris Jericho's just there to put Wyatt over. So, more likely Jericho will win, but Wyatt will come very close to winning.
So, you think Jericho's taking it as well, do you?
Yeah.
Right, well, I'm going to go against the flow again. And strange enough, I agree with Walker again. I actually think it's going to take it more out of me seeing the reaction of Jericho to losing that match, and how he's going to be rather pissed off at that, and he's going to want to get some revenge of his own. So there's my take on it. I'm going to jump to the 20-man Battle Royal, and I'm going to run down the 20 names very quickly. We've got Alberto Del Rio, Big E, Bo Dallas, Cesaro, Curtis Axel, Diego, Dolph Ziggler, Fandango, Heath Slater, Kofi Kingston, RVD, R-Truth, Ryback, Sheamus, Sin Cara, Great Khali, Miz, Titus O'Neil, and Xavier Woods, not forgetting, last but not least, Zack Ryder. So there's an interesting mixed bag of names. Heavy set, I'm going to start with you. 20 men in that ring, who's going to be taking that Intercontinental Championship?
I'm going to have to go with Feed Me. I can't even do it with a straight face. But my real pick, which is kind of off the wall, is a great pick, but you got to believe.
Well, that's my pick, you bastard. Fucking hell.
You're allowed to have the same pick. Okay, so let's go straight to Walker. Then you're saying Bo Dallas as well.
Yeah, man, of course. You've got too much momentum not to pick it up. Imagine him having the Intercontinental title and him cutting promos that's like, I win the Intercontinental Championship with the Bad Rock because I bought it. Yeah, you know where I'm going. You know where I'm going with that. So, come on. Grow up. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
Blow Dallas all day.
I think we can all see that. Certainly a possibility. Kiwi, who do you think is going to take this?
It's really difficult to actually try and pinpoint something different other than Bo Dallas. But I'm going to say Dolph Ziggler. There you go. Obviously.
You're going for DZ. Dolph Ziggler gets a vote on that one. I'm actually quite surprised. I was got the funny feeling no one was actually going to say Dolph in this case. Bear in mind, I have still got guys like Cesaro and Alberto Del Rio in there, so it's quite interesting to get a Dolph Ziggler vote. Sam, what do you think?
I'd love Dolph Ziggler to win it, but I don't think he will. I think I don't want it to be Bo Dallas. I'm about the only one that isn't a fan of Bo Dallas, it seems. I really don't know this one. I'm just gutted that Barrett's injured, because I think he was going so well with it that...
Why don't you believe?
I don't know. I think you either just buy into what he's doing or you just see him and it bugs you.
Like, I'll explain this about me. Like, when I first saw him, I was like, you know, this guy is a creepy-looking schmuck. Like, I don't care what he does. But when he got onto the main roster and he started doing, like, some extra things, some really good ad-libbing, I was like, that's some real dedication and that's someone going a little bit above and beyond, and I admire that and respect that. That's the only reason half the reason why I'm picking him. The other reason is because the moment that Wade Barrett has to surrender the title, I'm picturing who would be the worst person. He would be like, oh my God, I got to hand this to you, and it's Bo Dallas. And depending on how long he's out for, if it's he's going to come back within a decent amount of time, hands the belt over, the next thing you know, it's Wade Barrett returning, face pop to go against Bo Dallas and break the Bo streak.
And that also takes us back to Bo's initial appearance on Raw when he was fighting against Wade Barrett as well. So it kind of brings things full circle a little bit. So I certainly can see that as a possibility. Rue, who do you think can take this match?
There's certainly a different mix of characters, but like everybody else, I'm going with Bo Dallas.
Okay, actually, let's jump back. Sam, you didn't actually say who you think would win.
I'll go with them.
Zack Ryder. Wow. Okay.
I think he was.
Should have just said Diego instead, mate. It would have had a better chance.
Is there a Torito in it?
He's not, unfortunately. No.
Oh, would have had him.
I think 2011 just called and it said, "Are you serious, bro?"
Honestly, probably Bo Dallas. I think.
Okay, H.
To be honest, as long as it's not Sheamus, I really couldn't give a fuck. If Sheamus, and that's what I've got a really, really bad feeling that it's going to be, then I'll be quite annoyed because I also agree that it should be Bo Dallas.
You just hate Irish people, don't you,
Yeah, we all hate them.
You say hi neighbours to the west, man.
Boy, I'm half Irish. Watch it.
you got a problem with the Redbeards, eh? Don't mean to come out of the shillelagh and shut up your ass.
Ah, that was the most terrible Irish accent.
Shut your feckin' arse, you little shit.
That's nearly as bad as Jamie Boy's Scottish accent.
Oh, don't get
Let's not talk
started.
About that retard on this show, man, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, he's had enough time in the limelight. Let's put him back where he belongs, back in his little box.
He's such an idiot, man. I literally heard his call just before I came onto Skype and I wanted to punch someone in the face.
How did you think we felt?
Yeah, he was powering you guys. I felt bad for you. God.
Well, funny thing is that he sent me a message on Twitter asking who's in the British invasion, and I was like, well,
oh mate, no, you didn't.
I was Doug Williams, but I didn't watch TNA.
You should have said Ringo Starr, Paul McCartney, John Lennon and George Harrison.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
I'm losing the plot where I'm supposed to be on this now. That was quite fun. But anyway.
Hold on, just got a point on that. You know what? The worst thing about all of that is the fact that he pretty much licking his mic out like it's a vagina every time he does a phone call.
It's bad as Mike Solo.
It's not that he's licking it. Oh, yeah. Those two have the worst problem because they breathe just into it. They don't have it in their mouth. They're not licking it. When they talk, they exhale, and it just comes right into the mic. Learn what the fuck you're doing.
Awful eardrums.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant experience in any which way, is it? His impression of me was so bad and so quiet, I couldn't make out half the words he was actually bothering to say, but that's a whole other conversation.
And please leave the impressions to the professionals like myself and Kai. When I get people actually thinking that I'm the brain, and I'm sorry, Kiwi, when people think I'm actually you, then you're doing something good.
I remember when you did the brain, I was just thinking, God, I can't believe he's doing this right now. I remember the day I was on a bus going to college and I was laughing my ass off and I looked like a right prick. It was the best.
I thought Ant was pretending to be the brain at the beginning of his call.
Anyway, I'm going to rein this back and bring this back to Second Shift Conversations, not AWWIR, a waste of space. I'm not going to mention his name again. So you touched on Sheamus H, and certainly Cole did reference on Raw that, you know, this could be the chance to unite the titles. Are you 100% definite they're not going to do it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that there's a good possibility that they can do it and they will do it, but I don't want to see it. Yeah. It's not that I don't want to see the titles merged. It's more that I don't want Sheamus to have the title because, like, I can never remember who the champion is. I don't see... He's not done anything for the championship as Sheamus. You know, everyone thought, oh, put it on this guy who used to be a main eventer. It'll raise the prestige of the title. It hasn't.
Heavy, do you think that they would have had a battle royal had Barrett still been around?
Oh, no, they probably would have had some sort of feud with Barrett. Everything was firing on all cylinders with him, and it was awesome to see like what feud he was going to have next. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a face turn coming up because a lot of people were getting behind him. They actually had a really good, nice shirt for him, and it felt like everything was just moving in the right direction, but everything just fell apart. And what was I going to say about the whole Sheamus thing? Oh, yeah, when people, like, because a lot of people are pointing out, like, oh, Michael Cole said this on Raw, so, you know, or JBL, whoever said, like, oh, they don't point anything out for a reason. They also say guys like Great Khali and Big Show are threats to win the Royal Rumble. So not everything is a sign.
Absolutely right. Do you think there's a likelihood that they could have booked Barrett versus Sheamus for this pay-per-view if that had been the case?
I don't know. I still think if you're going to have that match, you have that over in your neck of the woods in Europe, just because that means so much. And here of just being champion versus champion, Sheamus versus Wade Barrett, it's not going to mean as much. And like we've said before, the U.S. title doesn't mean much. I personally wish they had to have that in the mix for Jack Swagger and Rusev, because that would have made their feud even more entertaining, because we would have this belt with United States on, and I would like to have seen Rusev with the title, and maybe he's calling it the Russian championship, and that's what causes the feud to keep going, or even start up, because that's when the real American sets in, because no, that's our belt, that's the United States belt, not Russia.
Okay, A.H. Walker, you said Bo Dallas to take this. If Bo Dallas wins, who's he facing at SummerSlam?
Dolph Ziggler.
You think Ziggler gets...
Because I feel like they might just throw Ziggler a bone after the whole... He's getting some big pops lately. Like, people are really kind of thinking, this guy has been overlooked, and like, he's been doing this stuff with Triple H. Just give him, they might give him a little, nice little 4-week program. Gives him some TV time. Gives Bo Dallas a more legitimate guy to beat. So that'd be good. I'd like to see.
You don't think we're going to get Ziggler versus Fandango at SummerSlam?
I don't really know the direction of where they're going with this, because like, it seemed like it was going to be Ziggler and Summer Rae, and then Fandango and Layla, and then they skipped over Ziggler for like a week, and then the girls like decided to go against him, and maybe this the girl it's just pretty much the girls versus him, and it's whoever faces Fandango, the girls will just come and support. So I don't really think Ziggler plays a part in anything that to do with Fandango at the moment. Well, I could watch Raw next week and I could be wrong, but I don't think he has anything to do with what Fandango's doing.
Thank you very much. I'm going to finish off with
the wrong time.
I'm going to finish off my prediction also being Bo Dallas, purely because I can see there being a great celebration after this on Raw, and I'm quite curious to see what they do with them going forward at SummerSlam with that win. So I'm also going with Bo Dallas, which takes us to the final match. Fatal 4-Way for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. John Cena, Kane, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns. Rue, what are your thoughts on this match?
I don't know, because it could go either way, but I'll probably see Cena winning.
Kiwis had to step out, but he's also suggesting Cena retains. H, what about you?
Yeah, Cena retains. I think we all know that Cena's going to retain, and it's going to be Cena versus Brock at SummerSlam. There's even been a video being put out by, I don't know whether it was put out by WWE, but it's been picked up, a promotional video for SummerSlam advertising Cena versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE title. You know, that's, in my opinion, that's not a spoiler, you know, because it's so out there now and everyone just sees it coming.
Walker, do you agree that's definitely on the cards?
Yes, I do, my friend.
So you're saying JC retains as well?
Yeah, man, I don't see any reason to take the belt off him. Like, who else is out of the four of the guys in the match? Out of the four guys in the match, who is more likely to face Brock Lesnar if Brock Lesnar is supposed to be coming back for SummerSlam? Who would it be? Because I don't see anybody else having a proper claim to face Brock Lesnar, but John Cena does. So, like, it's too soon for Roman Reigns, and Randy Orton and Kane are feuding with each other, so there's no point. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds fair enough to me. I'm going to jump to Sam. Do you also agree with everyone else?
Yeah, Cena wins, faces Lesnar at SummerSlam. The worst kept secret.
The worst kept secret, absolute fact. Heavy set, you with the guys.
Of course I am. Never give up.
Absolutely, it's a Superman show. And that's all the matches covered. Now, Kai, you've brought up in the chat, since that Damian Sandow will face Adam Rose because they've both been dropped out of the Battle Royale. Do you see that as being a legitimate match?
Well, a legitimate match, maybe not, but from what I've heard, it sounds like it's going to happen. And it's just going to... I mean, if they're putting... did someone say that Cameron and Naomi are on the pre-show?
Yeah, they are.
Right, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I've got 8 matches.
See, that's 7 matches on the main show without that. You know, I don't think it's needed, but, you know, WWE want to make a filler match somewhere because there are some solid matches on the card. So that little bit of filler will probably, you know, just before the main event.
Okay, Kiwi's just come back in. Kiwi, we're just discussing the possibility of Damian Sandow and Adam Rose being added to the card for Battleground. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yes. Yeah, I read that just before we came on air on the allwrestling.com app, which I'm plugging, so hopefully I'll get some royalties. Yeah, I think that's I think that's going to happen. I don't have much interest, to be fair, and Adam Rose is dropping off for me. Is something I really enjoyed, and I'm just not getting it anymore. So, yeah, I see that a possibility, and I think Adam Rose is going to win, for sure.
H, who do you think will win then in that case, if it happens?
I think it'd probably be Adam Rose. I don't see Sandow going over, which is quite sad.
Have you said, do you think that match is going to happen?
I don't know and I don't care.
If it does go ahead, who would take it?
I would hope Sandow, and please get Adam Rose off my damn TV.
No, am I the only one? Okay, never mind. All right.
All right,
it's too late, man. It didn't work out too well, did it, man?
That's like a failed Mexican wave, isn't it? It's never good, never ever good. AH Walker, is that match going to happen? Who do you see taking the win?
If it does happen, Adam Rose is gonna win. Obviously, Damian Sandow's doing this whole jobbing shit. Do I see it happen? I don't really care, if I'm going to be honest. Like, I do like Adam Rose, but like, until he has a proper substantial feud, and I don't think that's ever going to happen, by the way, but just by the way he's been portrayed so far, until he has that proper feud, I'm not really going to give him too much of a thought. So, wah.
But that said, we've heard that behind the scenes that Adam Rose is a little out of favour. Rue, what are your thoughts? Do you think it's going to happen? And could Adam Rose take that win if it does?
I hope not. I'm not interested at all, but if he does have it, I want Sandow to win, because I cannot stand Adam Rose.
Okay, that's fair enough. And lastly, Sam, your thoughts on this one?
The only way I want to see this happen is if it's a loser leaves the wrestling business and Sandow beats Adam Rose.
So Sandow wins for you, is that what you say?
Yeah, but I'm not interested in it.
I'm going to say Sander as well, only in the hope that this does start the end of this chain of strange appearances by him over the last couple of months. It's run its course, I think. Time to start moving things on for him.
Who do you guys think that Sandow's going to come out as at Battleground, knowing that the pay-per-view is going to take place in Tampa?
That's an interesting question.
Dusty Rhodes. It has to be, man. They're so over in Florida. It has to be Dusty Rhodes, right? It must be. Or Bad News Barrett. Because there is the Intercontinental Battle Royal. If he's in the Battle Royal, he could come out as Bad News Barrett and he'd be like, yeah, it's not really. And he comes out with like the worst British accent ever. That'd be fantastic to me.
Hitch, who could he come out as for you?
You see, I was just about to say Flo-Rida, but but then that's at Raw the next night. So that might be one to hold off on until Raw.
Okay. Have any thoughts on who you could come out as?
I really don't want it to be Dusty Rhodes. We already have two in his family that are crazy enough. We don't need an impersonator of the American Dween, maybe. Two is enough.
I thought that was an opportunity for you, Kurt, to pull out your Dusty Rhodes impression for the second week running. I think we can round that the conversation off there. So, Battleground this week, the predictions are in. We'll see next week how we all fared, if anyone actually got a clean sweep at all across the board. But chances are there's going to be some surprises in some of these results, but we'll see. Going to hand over for the second section of the evening to H, who's going to introduce our special focus for this week.
So, yeah, guys, this... Thank you. So, the special focus for this
Bob week... Bob Leave!
Who's taken my lead and tarmac my driveway?
So unprofessional. Right. Anyway, so it came to me. Obviously, we know that now Sting is going to be in the 2K15 game. Obviously, if you've seen Raw. So it seems like it's going to be inadvertible that he appears on WWE television sometime soon. So what I'm asking you today is, who are some of the biggest names that have never appeared in WWE? And the reason why I'm asking this is because outside of one person, I can't think of anyone that's a big name that hasn't appeared in Vince McMahon's promotion.
Okay, so we'll take that to Heavyset kickoff. Heavy, any names you can think of? Sorry, go on, you go.
I'm not going to take away the name that I know that someone's going to say because I heard them say it and I was like, oh, that's a good point. But I think if you count everything post-WrestleMania 1, WWE has done a very good job, in my opinion, of getting people they want that were big, or getting pretty much everybody that was big. The only name that I think is like a real significant name in wrestling, and it was pre-WrestleMania 1, that I don't think he worked with Vince McMahon Sr., but he actually was turned down by him, and that was the historic feud between Jerry Lawler and the great Andy Kaufman. Granted, Kaufman wasn't a wrestler, but this one particular moment and the particular feud never took place under the WWF umbrella. Granted, it's not the same kind of environment it is now, or it is post-WrestleMania 1, but that's the only one I could really think of. Everybody else has either been with them one way or another.
Yeah, so I'll just throw in my one that I was thinking of, and that is AJ Styles. Obviously, he's always been in TNA, and he's never really stepped up to the WWE, and from what it sounds like, WWE don't want him, or at least not interested. So let's move on to Kiwi. What do you think? Is there anyone of the big names that you can think of?
Not really, to be honest with you. I probably need a bit more time to even think about, you know, a real big name. But I would have thought maybe Samoa Joe, because I think he could he would have done really quite some awesome work with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, John Cena, etc. So I think Samoa Joe over AJ Styles for me personally would have been a great addition to a WWE roster.
That's a good one too. I remember having this conversation with Dan a while back when he had Dixie Carter on the show. I asked him to ask her like, who's the biggest person that she's lost from TNA that she wished she'd have kept signed that went onto WWE, and he pointed out that there's no TNA originals that have really made it onto WWE television. So really, any of the people that were saying are big names that have never got to WWE, the only ones that WWE have never really snapped up have been the TNA originals,
Who's next? Sam, have you got anyone?
I agree with Heavy that most, if not all, the TNA guys at once upon a time were under WWE employment, weren't they? Apart from, I really can't think of anyone who wasn't. But
yeah, like you say, it seems like they've grabbed as many people as they can from each of the generations, and they've taken all the top names. And this is kind of like the first time that they've ever been on good terms with people from each generation. It just shows you how big WWE is.
It would have been it would have been interesting to see how Big Daddy would be perceived in America if he ever went over.
Yeah, I remember reading once that Giant Haystacks went over. I might be wrong, but he worked over in America and he did quite well. Big Daddy, he was never really I don't know much about the guy because of my age, but he, you know, does anyone else know much more about Big Daddy?
Well, you can check it, Michael, on the WIRX this week. Hashtag WIRX legend.
That's a brilliant
segue that is, man.
it's as if Bob planned that, you know.
I'll let you continue the sequence, so I just thought I'd jump in there. So if you want to find out more about Big Daddy, check out this week's WIR.
Or you can listen to an old episode where the goon talks about him. Oh, sorry. I thought I was mute.
I'm going to call back him as well, to be honest.
Has the goon done it? I definitely don't
know.
I'm pretty sure. As soon as I heard it, I was like, yeah, I think Goon's talked about that.
Oh, I didn't know
you
got to
remember, Goon's been doing the whole past wrestler thing for about a year or two. So he's covered a lot of people.
He certainly has. I should have thought to ask him, actually. So anyway, if you want to continue that sequence, H.
Right, so we'll go to you, Legend. Is there anyone that you can think of?
I don't know who you guys just mentioned there, but the first one I think of is a guy who's currently in Japan. I'm thinking AJ Styles.
Yeah, we've just mentioned him.
Thought so.
Yeah. Can you think of any more?
But mentioning any of the TNA originals is, like, are any of them, like, really, like, that big of a name? Like, they're not, like, icons. It's like they're bigger for being in TNA, and that has a glass ceiling of so much, but then, like, it's not the world-renowned name. Like, Sting is the name that I thought somebody mentioned before we started recording and hasn't been said yet. If I'm taking the answer, I'm sorry, but the Great Muta.
I think the reason why we treat TNA originals kind of as the biggest stars outside of the WWE is because that's what they are for this generation. For a fan like me who's been only watching since, 2004, you know, they're the sort of big stars that have never made it from my generation. I don't remember the Great Muta and people like that. So I think it depends on how long you've been watching to know the big stars.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm thinking back to his time in WCW's when I'm remembering seeing him. So,
is there anyone that we haven't been to on this question?
Walker. Walker's itching to get in.
I was gonna say the TNA originals, but I'd like thought of a few more names. Like I would have said Bruiser Brody, Stan Hansen, and Carlos Colon, because you hear a lot of talk about these guys influencing their own sectors, and these guys are underrated and all this, and they never really got the chance to come to the WWE as much as I can remember. I know Bruiser Brody really didn't, because he was more Japan than Puerto Rico before he got killed. Stan Hansen was a WCW, if my knowledge. Well, I say my knowledge, my internet searching would do me hope. And Carlos Colon was just, you know, Puerto Rico as well. So those are a few names that didn't really get much WWE limelight. So there, mull over that as you will.
We're going to go to our one up, one down, and I'm going to start with our American friend Heavy Set on this.
Oh, good God. My one up, I'm still going to go with what I said on the SJMP WrestleCast last night was I like everything they're doing with Jack Swagger and Rusev. It's one of the most interesting feuds they have going on right now, and that's my one up.
Okay, that's certainly a good one, because it's one that many people have been looking for the last number of weeks, so it's finally good to have it come to fruition. And your one down?
My one down, I'm going to go with the ending of Raw. Whether Rollins was actually injured or he was selling it, it seemed to be a really weird clusterfuck. It seemed like just awkward. Like there could have been different ways that they were going or planning on going, or they could have went. I think my favorite one, it should have been Cena kind of gets knocked out towards the end. Rollins gets up. He's like, well, I'm going to cash in now. And that's when Dean Ambrose makes his return, quote, from the hospital and interrupts it.
Yeah, it was a bit of a funny ending. I was a bit unconvinced by it myself, let's be honest. When you come to Sam, you're one up and one down for this week.
My one up is the Sting promo. I just thought it was brilliantly done.
Yeah,
what your thoughts?
We kind of knew there was something on the build with Sting because of the advert that had gone out looking for actors to take part as an orchestra. They were going to paint with face with Sting face paints, but the predictions had been for Sting DVD rather than 2K15 announcement. So it was quite a good build for that. I quite liked that myself. You're one down.
Is Sheamus in the Battle Royal? He has a title. Use it instead of it's like Big E at WrestleMania. He was in the He was in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. But why not have him defend it? It just seems like a waste.
I think it's possibly just to get that little tiny glimpse of hope that maybe we could see the two titles come together. But I don't see that happening right now. It's not the right time, I don't think.
With the current irrelevancy of the U.S. title, could we now say that you can't spell useless without U.S.?
Oh god, that was awful.
And of course I mean the title, not the country. We the people.
Yeah. Okay, we jump to Kiwi. One up, one down from you this week.
Okay, my one up would have to be in agreement with Heavy. The Lana Swagger, Zeb and Rusev segment on Raw. I really loved that. I enjoyed it. And the connectivity that they all have with the crowd, and the crowd loving this storyline, as I am and a lot of us too. I thought that was brilliant. Very enjoyable. And my one down would be Big E beating Cesaro. I almost felt like initially that this is the demise of Cesaro's happening now. It's probably overdramatic on my part, but I felt like, now Cesaro hasn't got Heyman around him anymore, by the looks of it. He's just being let go to the wayside and just jobbing to Big E. And I thought that was a waste of a segment, I feel.
I'm going to jump back to Heavy on that subject. And Heavy, you've kind of been keeping up to date what's happening on SmackDown this week. Is there anything on that on there?
I did happen to scan over the spoilers to make sure what's going on with this. Because if you listen or you're going to listen to DSJMP WrestleCast, we talked about the whole Cesaro-Heyman situation. From me watching it, I didn't get the impression that Heyman and Cesaro were no more. It was just kind of for the one night thing, and they were adding their own speculation of why Heyman wasn't there. But some other people on the show, they were like, "Oh no, Cesaro fired Heyman, blah blah blah." But to me, that doesn't make sense.
No.
So
no, you're right.
I'm actually curious of how you guys took it. Did you take it that it's just like Heyman's not with him for like the time being because Heyman's working on other things, or Cesaro fired Heyman? Because I even went back and rewatched certain parts, and they don't say, they just kind of hint around at stuff, but it just seems like commentary speculating.
Yep. I'm the same as you. I thought that was just a one-off scenario that Heyman and other business had to go and deal with, and it was just for that one event, and I was waiting to kind of hear more on it as the show progressed, but I didn't actually get anything that made me believe that the two were splitting ways. So for me, they're still together. Anyone else got any last comments on that before we move on to A.H. Walker?
Yeah, I guess it just kind of confused me because, like, I heard the whole thing when Cesaro was coming out, and they made it sound like it was going to be this big deal that, you know, Paul Heyman had been fired and everything, and then it just kind of went, oh no, yeah, and then they didn't really mention it much again, and you kind of thought, well, what's the point in making the speculation if it's not, you know? It just didn't seem to fit, and it just kind of confused me. And from what I saw, a lot of people on Twitter.
Right, A.H. Walker, let's go to you for your one-up, one-down for this week.
My one-up was when Dean Ambrose said, "Is that all you've got?" when he was getting the ass-kicking of a lifetime by the Authority. I was just like "Yeah, you take that ass-kicking, you moron." Yeah. I thought that was quite funny.
Yeah.
My one-down would probably be just, the ending of Raw. I thought that was a bit of a clusterfuck. It seemed a little choppy because I kind of thought Seth Rollins was injured and he had a part to play in the main event, in the end, and it just seemed quite slow and horrible to watch.
Right, okay, thank you. Rue, one up, one and down for this week.
My one up would be Chris Jericho versus Bray Wyatt, because I just think that's going to be one of the better matches of the night on Battleground.
Mm-hmm.
And my one down was Eva Marie in that singles match on Raw. She just looks so awkward in that match.
The sooner she gets her pink slip,
the better. Eva Marie is the greatest diva of all time. I can't
bear to the straight face. Oh, dear. Yeah, well. Hopefully her days and JoJo's days are numbered, but time will tell. H, your one up, one down.
My one up for this week is the AJ Lee and Paige conversation that happened when AJ was sat on the announcer's table. I just thought that that was absolutely brilliant, and I like the way that WWE are going with the females. That, and this is in not meant to be in any offence to females, but you know, a lot of them like to bitch. And they don't have to be, you know, they don't have to be this clear, they doesn't have to be this clear cut good girl, you know, face and heel, you know, they can, and they really do that. They actually, they talk like that to each other's faces, like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm fine, yeah, oh, nice shirt, nice, and then they'll walk away and go, oh, I fucking hate her, you know. We see it all the time, and it's great to see that sort of realism on WWE TV. And shall I move on to my one down?
You might as well.
My one down for this week is that if the WWE have retired the world, the big gold championship, that was the wrong way to do it. They should have made a much bigger deal out of giving Ric Flair the big gold championship to take away. Obviously, we don't know if that's actually happened or not. I haven't heard any spoilers from SmackDown. But if they could have made this big deal out of it happening, not just because I think Ric Flair looked more surprised than a lot of us, because John Cena just kind of threw it at him and went, yeah, yeah, you keep it, and ran down. So if that's the end, I'm kind of a bit disappointed that they didn't make a bigger monumental deal out of it.
Well, I was doing quite a lot while I was watching Raw, and I think I've totally missed this happening, this little sequence. That's interesting. Heavy, do you think that's big gold gone?
I kind of want it to be gone, because I kind of want to get rid of the whole every month someone saying, oh, we're going to split the titles, we're going to split the titles. Granted, that conversation won me a free shirt, but it's still something that I'm just tired of hearing. And yeah. I mean, yeah, they should have made a bigger deal with Ric Flair. I heard someone say that supposedly, and I don't know if this is confirmed or not, it was supposed to be a bigger deal. Cena was supposed to come out, make a kind of bigger deal and hand him the title, like something in the ring, but they cut short on time, so they kind of nixed it. But I still think giving it to Flair one way or another is the way to go, and I'm 100% for it.
Paige, pipe back in there.
Yeah, I've read something in the news just before we came on air that said that WWE Creative, the writers were actually being asked to write the second hour of the show whilst the first hour was going on, and Jesus. That is not a good sign. That's so that could play something into it as well. You know, I read that and I went, what the fuck? You know, you can't be doing that. You know, that sounds like WCW.
And that could have an effect on the closing sequence as well.
Exactly.
Right, okay. Any last comments on that subject before we move on? Nope, I'll take it that big gold is gone. Okay, so let's go into the kind of free chat sequence for the call, and I'm going to go to Rue. Any last comments or thoughts you want to bring up for the evening?
Not really, no.
Well, that was short and sweet. Walker.
Yeah, I've got a question for you guys. When do you guys think the Ascension and Sami Zayn are finally going to get the move up to the big time?
For me, post SummerSlam. Kiwi, any thoughts on that?
I think it'll probably be just before Survivor Series, I feel.
Heavy?
WrestleMania after.
As far off as that?
And that's a good 9 months.
Yeah, that's a fair distance away. Not before then, no?
I kind of said on DSJMP last night, I'm having a prop A to where let's no longer talk about the Ascension coming up to the main roster. Because if there's one conversation I'm getting tired of hearing, and then I think Chevy is the one that keeps saying, like, oh yeah, they're going to debut and win the tag titles. And I'm just like, let's not have this conversation until they debut. It's almost as bad as John Cena turning heel at this point.
I'm still 4 weeks behind on NXT, so I have no idea if they've still got the NXT tag titles or not, but I'll catch up on it sooner or later. But anybody else got any thoughts on whether these guys will be coming up sooner or later? Rue?
Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Realistically, do you think
it's going to happen? You're spending too much time down there.
Yeah,
sorry?
Do you think it's definitely going to be sooner rather than later? Cause for me, I thought they'd have come up by now, and it seems to have dragged its heels a little bit.
They're dragging it out, definitely.
But then we've had quite a few names come up, so maybe that's a deliberate thing. Okay, I'm going to go to you, Rue, for any kind of last... I've already done this. I'm losing the plot. I'm getting tired. It's been a long day. I didn't get a great sleep last night. I'm going to go to Sam. Any last subjects you want to bring up for this call?
The only thing I was thinking today was, is Battleground necessary? Do we need it?
That's now, because
they're on the network, aren't they? So do they, you know, are they still looking for the sales of pay-per-view buys, or do they think that because people have paid $10 for the network that they need to have a pay-per-view on every month? I just don't think we need Battleground. It just seems like useless to me.
I've touched on this very subject myself a few times, and I think this is one where I would certainly say that they could quite happily drop and no one would be any the wiser or be all that bothered about it at all. So I would be happy to see the back of Battleground personally. Heavy, would you be happy to see the end of Battleground?
I mean, it's a B-level pay-per-view, and I've never been really high on the B-level pay-per-views, but I think this one serves a really, really good purpose, just as well as Elimination Chamber does between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, because what it is, it's serving as a Divas match, basically, to where we're going to give you two great events, because Money in the Bank is now up there with WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, and SummerSlam. So, and yes, I'm leaving out Survivor Series on purpose, but you put the Divas match in the middle of two main event matches, it brings the crowd down a little bit, and gets them to get them more focused into the next match. And it's the same way with Battleground right now. We went from a great Money in the Bank, okay, or maybe not as good as some of the rest, I will say that. Like, I think Money in the Bank was good, but not as good as some of the many great ones before it.
Thank
but
you
still,
awesome.
This is serving as a fluffer to set up things a little bit better to go into SummerSlam, and that's kind of why we have it. I'm sorry, I'm driving.
No problem at all.
How bad did I chop up?
There was a few special moments in that last speech.
Okay.
I know the feeling heavy I drive to, as you know.
If Devil is Vamp is listening to this while he's editing, or Rocky Mountain High is doing the one editing, suck it.
Walker, would you give it the Battleground?
Nah.
Short, sweet answer. H, would you get rid of it?
I kind of agree with Heavy that it needs to be there as that sort of B-level pay-per-view between the two big ones. But if we're going to make it like Elimination Chamber, then I kind of want to have like some sort of gimmick match there to drive the people to watch it. You know, why do you watch Elimination Chamber? Because there's an Elimination Chamber match. That's really, you know, except for when Punk and Rock were on there, that's really the only reason that you want to see that pay-per-view. So I think Battleground needed something like that, even if it is like a championship scramble, like you mentioned last week, and suspiciously the eloquent Englishman mentioned on WIR.
I have
a
suggestion.
You? Yeah.
What if WWE was to take the TNA approach only have four pay-per-views, and the rest of the pay-per-views are just WWE Network exclusive? Would that solve the problem?
It would certainly change the balance of things and put a different perspective on how we perceive the different
events.
That's a
game changer.
It is a game changer. The question is how quickly are they planning on getting rid of the pay-per-view model as it exists anyway? Because they've only just moved to the network side of things last year. They've got to move that through before they start thinking about how they get rid of how they replace all the pay-per-view money altogether.
I mean, let's face it, they did kind of do that because people don't really buy the pay-per-views as much. They're going to be buying the regular ones. Those are the real big deal ones, and the rest are pretty much exclusively on the WWE Network. Well, at least here in America, but I know you guys are different. But I wouldn't be surprised if the stream numbers are larger on some of these B-level pay-per-views than some of the bigger ones.
Okay, fair enough. Now, while I'm with you, Heavy, how about you give us your subject for the free chat for this week?
The only thing that hasn't been mentioned, and it's such a new topic, if anybody wants to talk about it, but it being official that CM Punk is no longer with the WWE.
It's an interesting topic, and certainly coinciding with the timing of them putting the Best in the World onto the network as well, is that their kind of farewell gesture towards Punk. So I think it's good to have actually some sort of resolution to the situation. It's dragged out for so long, and we've kind of waited till we knew it was going to be July before we had any kind of real answer to that subject. I think it's good to have a resolution, and if he's moved on, he's moved on. That means we can all move on, and we don't have to have crowds shouting CM Punk every single week, because it's driving me crazy. Anybody else want to chip in on that?
Yeah, driving me crazy too. It's fair enough for AJ. It comes with the territory, fine, but it's just turning into an annoyance now, and a real annoyance. So I hope that you know, CM Punk can have his rest like he wants, and go from there.
I really hope the fans actually start getting creative with AJ Lee. Don't just chant CM Punk. Mm-hmm. Chant, "Where is Punk? Where is Punk?" Or tell Punk hi. Tell Punk hi. Just
let's get out of the CM Spunk.
I don't know about that.
You know, AJ Lee's let's get away there, from, and that's where he deposit his sperm. So,
or what if they chanted AJ Punk?
There you go. That's using your head.
We know that they're married, and that's why you're viciously chanting when she's out. But stop chanting his name. It's not like he's back there in the back going, "Yeah, they keep chanting my name, but I'm not coming out." It's no, I'm in Chicago, as Batista would say. Deal with it.
Kiwi, do you have any further thoughts on this CM Punk situation now that he's cleared and gone?
No, not really. I must admit, I'm not necessarily missing him.
Mm-hmm.
And no, nothing else really much to say, to be honest.
I think that was one of the concerns a lot of folk had, is would we miss him? Would there be a great big void with him not being there? And certainly, I certainly haven't noticed that they've done quite a good job of filling in the blanks. H, any comments on this?
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that they didn't add the 6 months on to his contract like they did with Rey Mysterio, because that would have just pissed him off even more and probably made him say, well, you know what, I won't come back again. You know, he might have in the back of his mind now, you know, maybe I'll go back one day. Or, you know, a lot of people think that he will come back one day. If they'd have added those 6 months on, and if they'd have, you know, they've already ended on bad terms, or quite bad terms, you know, if they'd have added another 6 months onto his contract and said, oh, no, you're sorry, you can't do this big red carpet deal that you're doing in a couple of weeks, that'd have made him even more pissed off with the company and made the terms even worse than they already are. So as a fan that wants to see him come back, I'm glad that they didn't do that.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Rue, are you glad to see Punk now finally released from his contract? Oh, his contract has come to conclusion.
Yeah, he's just getting long drawn out. It's just every week, just CM Punk chance, he's just like, get over it already.
Do you see him coming back anytime?
No, I don't think so, because I know he said in the past he doesn't want to wrestle past 40, and he's getting pretty much near 40, so...
Okay, I'm going to bowl this last question to you, Walker. What's his next move? What's Punk going to do next?
Enjoy retirement and married life, I imagine. I don't see him going back into wrestling, considering he left because he was burnt out and the injuries were piling up. So if he gets back into wrestling, it's not going to be for a long time. So he's just going to enjoy just doing fuck all, which is what everybody wants to do when they have that money, really, don't they? So whatever.
My thought would have been that maybe we just do a few special events, but that would be about it.
The thing that I kind of want to bring up, that it's, I think people should be missing CM Punk, and it's not for the reasons before WrestleMania when everybody really wanted him back, but it was just with everything that's happened with Daniel Bryan, and I think, and a lot of people complain, like, well, John Cena doesn't need to be champion. Well, CM Punk could have been the one to fill in that spot, but with him being gone, Bryan being injured, and they're still building other stars, that's why you're going to put John Cena where he is. So it is kind of appropriate to miss CM Punk a little bit.
No,
yeah, I agree with you.
H has just said in the chat that he is missing Punk. H, what is it you're missing?
Pretty much for what Heavy just said just after I put that. Basically, it's because he could have been filling that void that Daniel Bryan has left. And now we don't see, you know, who have we got? We've got Cesaro there, that's kind of like the internet darling. Other than that, you know, Punk could have been in a much better position than he was this time last year. But then again, if he wasn't in that good sort of mindset, he wouldn't have been good to anyone. So it's a good thing that he's gone. But yeah, I miss him, and I wish he hadn't have been burnt out. But that's what happens when you're on the road in this business 365 days a year.
Yeah, for me, that whole limbo phase was just lasted far too long. So I'm just glad it's all come to resolution. He's gone. We can move forward, as I say. And as long as I don't hear any more CM Punk chants, then I'll be happy going forward about the situation.
CM Punk. CM Punk. Oh.
Thank you, Heavy.
Leave. Just leave.
Bob, now, leave.
Hashtag Bob Leave. Have I missed anyone out on the free chat?
The one thing that I did want to mention is that I don't know if any of you have listened to it, but I listened to the Drew McIntyre interview, or Drew Galloway now interview, with on the Chris Jericho podcast a couple of days ago. And it's a really, really insightful interview. The guy's really, really smart. And you can tell that he was shocked by his release. But he's also kind of, he's not bitching about it. He doesn't, you know, slag anyone off from WWE. He says, look, you know, this is, I'm going to change people's minds and I want to get back to the WWE. That's my aim. And it's a really, really good interview. Jericho says it's one of his best that he's done. So I think you should all check it out if you haven't already.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one. I thought it was actually quite insightful myself. I quite enjoyed listening to his comments about everything that happened, the way it all went down. And I do like the way that he has tried to keep the door open for himself as much as he possibly can. It made most sense to me going forward. Kiwi, I've not come to you, have I, for any final comments from you for this week?
No, but it's okay. Just one thing, a bit like what H just said about the Drew McIntyre podcast, which I agree with you, was really fantastic and quite insightful. I think I was really interested to hear Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast with Vince Russo, the two-parter. Vince Russo really opened himself up to Steve Austin, and in Vince showed his emotion in agreeing to the to taking some part of responsibility for the decision for Owen Hart as the Blue Blazer to go up into the top of the building before he sadly fell over the edge in 1999. So I suggest anybody to go and listen to that, because it has personally for me changed how I personally feel about that. I feel it's changed my position on how I feel Vince Russo is like as an actual person, not necessarily, you know, a creative genius like he was during the Attitude Era, but how he is actually as a person. He showed a lot of emotion about various subjects, certainly about the death of Owen Hart. So any intelligent wrestling fan who wants to, you know, learn a little bit more about Vince Russo and how he got into the business of professional wrestling, then do listen to it. It mostly talks about his career in the WWF.
Yeah, I've certainly got that in my backlog, and that's what I'm looking forward to listening to. I've heard lots of good comments about it, so I'm looking forward to getting my ears on that one when it comes around. Well, thank you all for coming on to the show again this evening, everybody. I'll give you all a chance to say goodbyes and drop any contact details you want to give to the listening public. I'm going to start with Walker. Do you want to say your goodbyes and drop your Twitter handle, etc.?
Follow me at @AH_Walker, and my dick is big. Thank you.
Thank you. Rue.
I'm Rue Jez, and you can follow me at Rue Jez on Twitter.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Yeah, I'm at Twitter at Samuel_WBA.
Kiwi Tuts.
AH is not surprised that you're a big man because you're a black man. But
thank you very much, my friend. Thank you very much.
I don't expect Kiwi to degenerate the conversation.
I apologise. It had to be said. We were all thinking
now
it.
Now you got Kiwi all excited. Jesus Christ.
Just bear in mind, thank God we're finishing. But anyway, follow me on Twitter.
I just got that.
Follow me on Twitter at KiwiTuts, or at my personal journal podcast, at The Tuts Experience. And this is a Goodwill Ambassador checking out. Cheerio. And have a nice day. Bang, bang.
Yeah, he needs to go and check his potatoes. H.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at HWIR, and you can vote for me on Twitter in my match against Mike Solo, which I currently think I'm winning by quite a substantial amount. Hashtag WIRXH, that's the letter H. And if I don't see you through the week, it's because I'm nicking the lead off your roof.
We talked about this, you need to stop stealing the lead.
Oh, dear.
It just means a gypsy and he's a thieving git.
The more people get pissed off about me saying it, the more I'm going to say it. So hashtag Bob Leave.
Oh, no.
Heavy set, can you round off yours for tonight?
Obviously, you can follow me at Heavyset330, but make sure you're also following at VoteWIRX so you can hashtag VoteHeavy in my match against that one New Zealand weird-looking guy. Qatar, that's his name. Qatar.
Oh, yes, they're hosting the World Cup in 2022, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the one.
What's the World Cup? I like the Super Bowl, but worse?
Soccer tournament.
Soccer.
As if you just called it soccer. You're from England, man.
Translate.
Come on.
Translating.
Anyway, time for me to start rounding off this show. But you can also vote for me in the WIRX tournament by tweeting to @VoteWIRX, hashtag VoteLegend in my match against the other New Zealander, GVL. I don't think I've got much chance, but I've got to try. Get the votes in, people. Get the votes in for the Scotsman. I need to win this round. Anyway, you can email us secondshiftpod@gmail.com. You can tweet us @secondshiftpod on Twitter. Don't forget to also check out the DSJMP main podcast and also catch all of us on the AWWIR, the All Wrestling Weekend Review, every single week. Well, most of us every week. Rude, you need to get back on the show. And thank you all very much for being with us.
Don't forget AH Walker too.
Yeah, I know.
And don't forget AH Walker too. Get yourself back on the show every single week. Turn up. Anyway.
First family, British Empire, all gone.
Yeah.
All gone. Deceased.
Bob
lives.
Don't worry, you'll be like the other British factions from the past and you'll all slowly fade off and die too.
Yeah, you see that. Anyway, I'm going to round off this show. Thank you all for being with us. Thank you for following the podcast. Stay with us next week for another fun-packed show. I'll catch you all later. The living legend has now left the building.